Hare Krishna, Krishna Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama Hare Hare. Jai Radha Madhava Radha Madhava Radha Jai Panjatata 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 Jai Panjatata Jai Bo Hari Bo Hari Bo Hari Bo Nitai Gura Hari Bo Jai Jai Prabhupada 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 Jai Prabhupada Jayam Vishnupada Paramahamsa Parivrakachara Astotara Sisimad Abhai Channaravinda Bhaktivedanta Maharaj Prabhupada Ki Ananda Koti Vaishnava Vrindam Ki Namachara Sri Haridas Thakur Ki Primse Kaho Sri Krishna Chaitanya Pravanitananda Sri Advaita Gadadhar Sri Prasadi Go Bhakta Vrinda Ki Jai Sri Radha Krishna Gopa Gopinath Shyamakunda Radha Khun Sri Giri Gopa Dham Ki Sri Vrindavan Dham Mathura Dham Ki Ji Ganga Mai Jamuna Mai Ki Jai Kurukshetra Jai Sri Kshetra Dham Jagannath Puri Ki Jagannath Baladev Supata Maharani Ki Sri Navadip Maya Pur Dham Ki Jai Gora Premanandi All glories to the assembly of the Rose. All glories to the assembly of the Rose. All glories to the assembly of the Rose. All glories to Sri Guru and Sri Gauranga. All glories to Sri Prabhupada Ki. Narayanam namastitam naram chaiva narottamam devim sarasvatim vyasam tato jayam dirayata Nasta praisya bhadrasu nityam bhagavata sevaya bhagavati utamasluke bhakti bhavati nastike Om namo bhagavate vasudevaya Om namo bhagavate vasudevaya Om namo bhagavate vasudevaya Hare Krishna Hare Krishna So thank you for allowing me to sit in front of you and speak on Srimad Bhagavatam. I beg your blessings so that I cannot be clouded by my speculation and try to speak according to the original speaker, Sukadev Goswami, and his followers, including our Srila Prabhupada. So today we are giving text number 6 of the 9th canto, chapter 9. I think the same verse is on the board. Text number 6. Shri Bhagavata Vacha. Sadhavanyasina Santa. Swamishta Loka Pavanaha Harantangam Tangam Sangat Teshaste Hangabit Dari Sri Bhagyata Vacha Sadhava Nyasina Santa Brahmishta Loka Pavana Harantangam Tengam Tsanga Testa Sanga Bida Testa Sanga Bida Dari Sivayata Vacha Sadavonya Sinasanta Brahmishta Loka Pavana Harantangam Tenga Sangha Teshas Tenga Bidadari. Next. Sri Bhagavasa Vasa Translation. Bhagavata said, those who are saintly because of devotional service are therefore in the renounced order, free from material desires, and who are pure devotees, expert in following the regulative principles mentioned in the Vedas, are always glorious and pure in behavior, and are able to deliver all fallen souls. When such pure devotees bathe in your water, the sinful reactions accumulated from other people will certainly be counteracted. For such devotees always keep in the core of their hearts the Supreme Personality of Godhead, who can vanquish all sinful reactions. Purport by Srila Prabhupada. Mother Ganges is available to everyone for bathing. Therefore, not only will sinful persons bathe in the Ganges water, but in Haridwar and other holy places where the Ganges flows, saintly persons and devotees will also bathe in the waters of the Ganges. Devotees and saintly persons advanced in the renounced order can deliver even the Ganges. Titi Kurvanti Titani Swantahastina Garda Bhita. It's a quote from Srimad Bhagavatam, 1st Canto, Chapter 13, Text Number 10. Because saintly devotees always keep the Lord within the core of their hearts, they can perfectly cleanse the holy places of all sinful reactions. Therefore, people in general must always respectfully honor saintly persons. It is ordered that as soon as one sees a Vaishnava or even a sannyas, one should immediately offer respects to such a holy man. If one forgets to show respect in this way, one must observe a fast for that day. This is a Vedic injunction. One must be extremely careful to refrain from committing offenses at the lotus feet of a devotee or saintly person. There are methods of prayaschitta or atonement, but they are inadequate to cleanse one of sinful reactions. One can be cleansed of sinful reactions only by devotional service, as stated in regard to the history of Ajamil. Kichit kevala bhakta vasudeva parayanam agam bhivanti kasnena niraham iva bhaskara. Translation: only a rare person who has adopted complete unalloyed devotional service to Krishna can uproot the weeds of sinful actions with no possibility that they will survive. He can do this simply by discharging devotional service, just as the sun can immediately dissipate fog by its rays. Bhagavatam 6:1-15. If one is under the protection of a devotee and sincerely renders service unto him, by this process of bhakti yoga, one is certainly able to counteract all sinful reactions. Om Gyana Timirandasya Gyana Jana Salakaya Chakshurumitam Jena Tasmai Shri Gurave Namam Jai Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadada Shivasadi Gora Bhakta Vrindam. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. So here, this is a king, Bhagavat, speaking to Mother Ganga. He's saying here that those who are saintly because of devotional service and are therefore in the renounced order of life, free from material desires, and who are pure devotees, expert in following the regulative principles mentioned in the Vedas, are always glorious and pure in behavior, and are able to deliver all fallen souls. When such devotees bathe in your water, the sinful reactions accumulated from other people will certainly be counteracted. For such devotees always keep in the core of their hearts the Supreme Personality of Godhead, who can vanquish all sinful reactions. So here we find a very promising statement, promising to Mother Ganga. Why? Because for generations and generations, Mother Ganga had been petitioned to come down to the earth. It had been petitioned by the great grandfathers of Anshuman. They failed. She did not come. And then Amsuman's son, Dilipa, tried, but Ganga did not come. And then in the same family, Bhagirath appeared. He heard the story that Ganga has been refusing to come down to the earth for generations and generations. And then he took it upon himself also to petition Ganga to come. He did austerities, and finally Ganga said, I have consented to your request, but I have one condition. Who will receive me as I pour down to the earth? Because if there is no person to, just like you see the rain, how when the rain is pouring, it kind of like penetrates and destroys so many crops. Because it, and then it becomes like a source of devastation. We have this experience. So you can imagine the force of Ganga coming to the earth. So she was concerned as to who will balance her. So then the king said he will arrange someone. Shiva. We see Lord Shiva has Ganga on his head. Now she has another concern. What is that? Her second concern is that when people bathe in her water, they will leave all their pup. And how will she be relieved? So then the king also told her that when saintly persons and devotees come and bathe in your water, they will relieve you because they carry the Lord, the Supreme Personality of Godhead in their hearts. So in that way we can understand that the Vedic system is about taking responsibility. It's just like in management, there are two ways of management. There is what is called crisis management, which we are all familiar with. And there is what is called preventive management. In preventive management, you make sure that things are running smooth. You make sure that the machines are serviced in due course of time. You make sure that the cars go for wheel alignment before they break down. But in crisis management, we only correct the situation when there are breakdowns. And then it becomes very expensive and also very dangerous. So likewise, in this universe, there is a big arrangement by the Supreme Personality of Godhead. This is based on preventive management. There are certain rules and regulations that were given to the first progenitors of mankind in order to regulate how the universe is functioning and also how we live within it. So, in the beginning, in the second canto, Suvadeva Goswami explains how the Bhagavatam is the answer to all questions. Because life is about questions. Because we are in a situation of crisis. Like here, we are here in crisis. That's why Ganga was called upon to come and purify the ancestors of Bhagirath. So you know the story. It began with Amsuman. No. In the beginning we read about so many personalities. King Sudyumna. He was a very brilliant personality. And he went to the forest. But the forest was cursed. Shiva promised his wife that whoever will walk in this forest without us knowing, if he's a man, he will turn to a woman. So this king, innocently, he was in the forest. Suddenly, when he came to that particular area, suddenly he realized, I'm no longer a man now. What happened to me? Can you imagine? You're visiting somewhere, and then suddenly your form has changed. And then also the same ninth canto, we hear about the dynasty of the sons of Manu. Priyavrata Maharaj, Maharaj Uttanapad. Even though they were great kings, grandsons of Lord Brahma, they had problems. Uttanapad, he got married to Sunita, who happened to be a daughter of that personified. As a result, later on he had a son called Vena, who was also a representative of that personified. Another problem. And then later on we hear from the same man canto about the marriage of Shravanamuni to Sukanya. We hear about Ambarish Maharaj, how he was offended by Durvasa Muni. Another crisis. The Lord had to intervene. And then Durvasa was liberated. He was delivered from such offense by the mercy of the Lord, who directed him towards his devotee, Ambarish Maharaj. And then we hear about the descendants of Mandata from the same ninth canto, and the sons of Shagara. So these sons of Shagara also, they mistook Lord Kapil to be a thief. We are storing a horse. Was a horse or a cow? So they thought that he deserved to be punished. And then, bang, Kapila, just by his power, he bent them to ashes. Another crisis. So then generations and generations and generations, we see how people faced problems and how by taking shelter of the Supreme Lord, the problems were solved. So these sons of Shagava who were bent to ashes, now they are going to be saved by the descendancy of Ganga to the earth. So Sukadeva Goswami, in the beginning, he confirms that Srimad Bhagavatam is a solution to all problems. The one verse, in the beginning of the second canto, says, Atra Sargas, says, Atra Sarga Vishagas Cha, Stanam Poshanam Uttaya, Manvantari Isha Anukata, Nirodo, says, Nirodo, Muktir Ashraya. Yes, Nirodo Muktir Ashraya. That Srimad Bhagavatam, in order to help us solve all the problems in this creation, give us 10 subjects. Beginning the first creation, Sarga, Visarga, the creation of mankind, generations and generations of people, beginning with Swayam Bhuvamanu and others. And then we get to know, to learn about how the Lord maintains this creation, how the Lord supports and favors those who abide by His laws, like different kings and different incarnations come at schedule also to assist. There is a whole management. And then this particular canto is called liberation, which means mukti. Now how do we get liberation? It differs according to different traditions. So Prabhupada here, he is making a principle in this purport to text number 6. That principle is making is about the importance of prayaschitam. He says, there are methods of prayaschitam or atonement, but they are inadequate to cleanse one of sinful reactions. One can be cleansed of sinful reactions only by devotional service, as stated in regard to the history of Ajamil. So this is a very, very important statement about atonement. Because this atonement is the principle that is predominating all religious denominations. In Christianity, in Islam, in many other religions, their beliefs and methods of worship are just geared towards this point, atonement. What does atonement mean? It means to reconcile with God, to make amends. So upon making amends with the Lord, it is believed that one is become cleansed of his sins. Just like the passion of Christ, some people believe that you don't have to do anything because Christ had already atoned for our sins by allowing himself to be crucified. So we find the same word also in the sixth candle. In the beginning, Maharaj Parikshit is asking a question as to by which means human beings can be saved from going to hell where they suffer in terrible conditions. He is asking who? Sukadeva Goswami. So Sukadeva Goswami, in response to this question, he explains that just by engaging in activities of atonement, human beings are able to avoid going to hell. On hearing this, the king was not satisfied. And then he explains that this process of sinning and atoning is like Kunjala Sutra. It's like the bedding of the elephant. So then King Parikshit rejected this process of prayasthitam as simple the bedding of the elephant. So this is what is happening in most cases, that people are performing atonement and then again they get caught up in the activities that implicates them to reactions. Like the Prabhu who gave the class yesterday was explaining about karma. Pralabdha karma, apralabdha karma. So the root cause of karma, apralabdha, and all different of karmas is avidya. And the root cause of avidya or ignorance is said to be aversion towards the Lord. When the living entity decides, I want to live independently or outside of his or her connection with the Lord, and then that living entity becomes covered. Prabhupada always called this avaranatmika prakshepatmika. Material energy covers the knowledge of his original existence as a servant of the Lord. And then the material energy introduces him or her to this material world and tell that jiva, this is your kingdom. You can enjoy here. So therefore, Narada Muni, in preaching to one king, by name Prajna Barisat, because the king is very big, you can't just go and preach to the king and tell him he is in Maya. No, you will kill him immediately. So he's not telling him, you are in Maya. You are a servant of Krishna. He said, Asit Nama Puranjana Raja Rajan. My dear king, I have a nice story for you. Once upon a time, there was a king, Puranjana. Asit Nama Puranjana Raja Rajan. And the king was listening. And Naramud continues, Brihat Sabha, this Puranjana was very famous. He was known for his great activities. What were his great activities? Kamakanda. He was sacrificing so many animals. And then, Narada Muni continues the story. He says, Tasya Vigyata Namasit. And this king has a friend. But his friend was the unknown. The name of the friend is Avigyata, which means the unknown friend. This refers to the super soul. And the king continued to listen. And then another morning he explains. He says, so this friend of Puranjana, when Puranjana was in problems because of his Kamakanda activities, this friend came and said, my dear friend, Hamso Aham Sottam Acharya. My dear friend, don't you remember me? I'm the still friend of yours. He says, we've been living together. Hamso means swan. Hamso Aham. We've been living together in the same heart, like two swans. We've been living in this heart, which is like Manasa Lake. For thousands and thousands of years. And Puranjana is listening. So that way, when the living entity is covered by avidya, he forgets his friend, the super soul. But the super soul is always making some arrangements for his deliverance. So that super soul is carried by pure devotees in the heart. Vishwanath Chagavat Thakur explains that it is the Lord that purifies the holy places. Yes, the devotee is buried in holy places, but it is the Lord that really purifies. They don't get affected because the Lord takes all the reactions, actually, not the devotee, in his commentary to this verse. So that way we can see how there is a wonderful arrangement in the material world. And this is what is called preventive management. Everything is there. And if the jiva takes advantage, immediately he can be saved. The example that is given here is that of Ajami. We all know the story. So this parashitam differ according to different religions and cultures. So we see that in Christianity, some Christians, not all, people go to the church. There is a special corner in the church where you enter and there is a priest. And then you pour out your sins. And then he will say, you are forgiven, my child. May God bless you. And then you go home. That's another way of prayasthitam. And then, in other traditions, they will slaughter the animal, the lamb, the goat. All these yagyas are meant for the same thing, for one's sins to be cleansed. They go on everywhere. You can go to India, you can go to Africa, you can go to many countries. You find the same thing. Puja, this puja. They are all for the same thing, prayaschitam, or atonement. But according to Bhaktivinoda Thakur, there are three ways of doing atonement. One is that which you can do by following the karma kanda, karma. So those who follow the process of karma, according to Bhaktivinoda Thakur, in Bhaktivinoda Vaibhav, they follow processes like Chandrayana. In India, it's commonplace. Chandrayana, during the waxing and the waning of the moon, people fast. That's one way of this atonement. And then Bhaktivinoda Thakur explains that others, they do atonement through jnana. His karma is jnana. And then in jnana process, they do confession, they confess. So he explains that for those who do atonement in karma, what happens, that process, it kind of stops the reactions to their sinful activities. But the desire, which is the root cause, remains, as well as the ignorance remain. And then again, they may engage in such activities. And those who follow the process of jnana, they can remove the influence of the past activities as well as the desire. But still, the avidya, that is not removed. As a result of that also, they may fall victims to such activities again. And Bhaktivinoda Thakur explains that another way of doing prayaschitam is that of bhakti yoga, especially chanting the holy name, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. He explains that this process of bhakti, especially chanting the name of Hare, it removes the ignorance that we belong here and we are the lords of this material world. And it connects us to our original position, to our constitution. So then automatically, all these things stop. Why is that? Because the holy name of the Lord and the Lord himself are non-different. It's just like we are here, we can make a call to someone in America, isn't it? We can call someone now in America and he will hear us and get to know what we need here in India. Maybe he may even send the things that we need from the other side. So in a similar way, this calling upon the name of the Lord is a transcendental telephone. Direct. It's direct. The Lord is hearing. Oh, they are chanting in Mayapur. They are chanting in Brazil. Oh, they are calling my name in Nepal. He is hearing. And then in immediately avidya diminishes and then all the problems become solved. Just like Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati gave one story, which is a real story. Some great scholar from Benares University came to meet him to discuss some philosophy. He was busy doing something. And then when the scholar came, the servant said, "Oh, Guru Maharaj said he's busy. You should go and assist his devotees." There were some brahmacharis who were polishing brass for the deities. Oh, he said, "Well, why not? Oh, server is good." And he went and started polishing the brass for the deities. And then when that server was done, and then the servant came, "Okay, now you can come. I'll take you to Guru Maharaj." He said, "Actually, while I was polishing the brass, all the questions just became answered automatically. I don't need to meet him now."
Yes.
So this is the power of bhakti. So that is why Sukadeva Goswami declares that Srimad Bhagavatam is the answer to all questions. Whether it's management, government, whether you have questions about, you know, how to be a good person, Srimad Bhagavatam has many examples. How to purify yourself and go back to the kingdom of God, that is also there. So in that way, this hearing Bhagavad Gita is the highest process of Parayashitam, as it was exemplified by Maharaj Parikshit and many other personalities. It's higher than offering sacrifices to the demigods and many other personalities. So we see here that also Ganga, even though she was petitioned to come to the earth to purify the ancestors of Bhagrat, who were burnt to ashes by Kapila Muni, she was concerned. "How will I get purified when sinful people bathe in my waters?" And then the king assured him that when the devotees come, they will purify you because they always carry the Lord in the core of their hearts. So all problems can be solved just by applying the principles of devotional service. This is the point here, that bhakti is the highest form of prayashtitam, or process of atonement. Now we have 10 minutes. If you have some questions, we can take a few.
Hare Krishna Maharaj.
Maharaj, with regard to the sins are concerned, generally in conviction that miseries are out of past karmas, at this context, what I would like to say, for each and individual entity's movements are according to the Lord's mercy. Unless the Lord approved, nothing could be. There is a proverb also, without injunction, not even a ant never bite to anybody else. If that is the case, why and how we are responsible, the human beings are responsible for their activities and their punishments and their miseries and all.
Can you please repeat?
Pardon?
Why?
So I can tell you, generally we are under conviction that we are suffering from miseries, you know?
Yes.
So for each and individual entity's movements are according to the Lord's mercy only. For each and every individual's activities are depend upon the Lord's mercy.
Each and every religious activity that we are performing is dependent on the Lord's mercy.
Lord's mercy, yes. Unless the Lord approves, nothing could be.
Unless the Lord,
approves, nothing could be.
Yes.
So there is a proverb also, without injunction of a Lord, no ant can bite to anybody else.
Speak far from the mic, maybe that's why it's too loud.
No, that is the case, you know. Who are responsible for our sinful activities? Because everything is being ordered by the Lord, and we are behaving, and our characters and everything is depend upon Him.
Yes. So,
suppose if Lord Krishna thinks, you know, that if nobody can kill anybody without permission of Lord, nobody can kill it. Or if anybody wanted to save, nobody can save it.
What is your question?
So my question is, you know, how we are responsible for our activities in the present life?
Yes. Bhagavatam 12th Canto. And then in 12th Canto, chapter 6, text number 25 says, Jivitam Maranam Jandu Swenaiva Karmana. That Jivitam means the Jiva, the living entity, is the cause of his happiness and distress by Swenaiva Karmana, by his activities. This verse was spoken by Brihaspati to King Jayamajaya, because he thought Maharaj Parikshit was bitten by a snake, and he wanted to ban all the snakes. He said, no, King, everyone causes his happiness and distress. Nobody is responsible for anyone's distress and happiness. So by our activities, by our karma, we can be in a happy situation or in a distressful situation, according to this statement of the 12th canto. Like we can blame food and say, because I ate this, now I'm sick. But food didn't ask you to eat it. You wanted to eat, and then you may overeat, or you may eat wrong things. But because we have a tendency to blame our suffering on somebody else, we must find a victim. You understand? This is the nature of our conditioning. Bhagavatam explains, Svenaiva Karmana, by our actions, we experience good and bad, happiness or distress. But how that happens, we may not see. Just like Anga, he was a descendant of Dhruva Maharaj, but he was unable to have a child. So then the sages, they looked into his previous life, and they told him that in this life we have no sinful reactions, but in your previous life, that's why you don't have a son who will replace you on the throne. So they did some yagya. They did something for him to have a child. And then who did he have? Vena. A terrible, terrible, terrible child. So when Vena started killing children and doing all kind of mischief, the king went to the forest. He couldn't help it. So that way, Bhagavatam explains that it's just the activities that we perform that implicate us to so many problems. We may not know, they may have happened in previous lifetimes, we don't know. But this is the statement of Bhagavatam. And it's factual, it's not that Bhagavatam is just trying to punish us, but it's giving us factual knowledge. It's just that it's not easy to digest it. Okay. Anybody else? Is that okay, Prabhu? Thank you. Thank you for asking nice questions. Anybody else? Okay, thank you very much for tolerating me. Hare Krishna. Jai Shri Prabhupada.